Happy Monday, Locked On Cavs listeners. I'm Chris Manning here solo today, talking about Jared Allen's season review as we kick off Jared Allen week here on the pod. Segment one, his season in review. Segment two, asking if Jared Allen has improved this year and how much he did improve en route to his All-Star appearance. In segment three, Allen in context and his impact on the season overall for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, the music you heard on the way in, at least in audio form, hopefully just for a couple more days, is from our friends at Astro Radio. Check them out on Spotify or Apple Music. And we want to thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. That's BetOnline. That's where the game starts. If you don't know who I am, I'm Chris Manning. I cover the Cavs for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Fear the Sword. My co-host, Evan Damrell, is not with me today. Obviously, it's just me solo. He'll be back tomorrow for our next show, I think. But I want to start today's show with a bit of news. The Coach of the Year voting came out, and as I think everyone already knew, JB Bickerstaff did not win this award. The Cavs head coach did finish fifth behind the winner, who is Phoenix's Monty Williams, the coach of the best team in the league, I think, for the most biggest chunk of this season. Memphis's Taylor Jenkins finished second, Miami's Eric Spoelstra finished third, and Boston's Ime Udoka finished fourth. Look, I think ultimately this is a fair outcome. This is a realistic outcome for JB Bickerstaff into the Coach of the Year hierarchy. Certainly, if the Cavs had sustained that high level of play, their highest level of play that we saw from them for stretches this season, made a push for 50 wins, maybe were a top four seed or something like that, Bickerstaff maybe finishes higher. His case for being, you know, a top three candidate, a finalist for this award, certainly I think could have been there. But I think when you're competing against guys like Monty Williams, someone like Udoka, who finished one spot ahead of him, who really turned Boston around, especially in the second half of the year, as Boston had, you know, one of the best defenses we've seen in a long time in the league, these teams all finish higher. You know, Memphis, for instance, like, was number two out west. Like, these are teams that were just ultimately better than the Cavs. The Cavs finished eighth and then fell out of the play-in tournament. This is just, I think, the reality of where the Cavs finish, in addition to just these other teams just, and his other coaches maybe doing a little more to help guide their teams to where they did and finishing a little bit higher. What I think matters in thinking about this, and I'm not a big care about awards, get mad about awards guy, so take that with whatever grain of salt. But this is a top five finish in this award for a coach who helped the team double its wins, had a team, depending on what ranking you look at, had a top 5-7 defense, you know, beat its over, went over under total by a wide margin, and really did improve in a meaningful way. This Cavs team, this Cavs franchise, is in a much better spot than it was, you know, even as recently as last season, better than we thought at the beginning of the season. Even with the end of the season struggles, you feel really good about where the Cavs are at. JB Bickerstaff absolutely has a part in that, has a role in making that happen. This is a team, again, that had one of the best defense league, was one of the best stories in the league. The NBA, just as it exists right now, is very, very competitive. Bickerstaff and, you know, Kevin Love not winning Sixth Man of the Year, and Evan Mobley not winning Rookie of the Year, Darius Garland not winning Most Improved. It is not really, to me, indicative of that these guys weren't up to snuff. It's that the league and all these awards are really, really competitive. It's very tight. It's like small margins about getting there. And look, maybe next year, if the Cavs take a leap and they go from being, you know, an 8 seed to a top 4 seed in the East, which would be a massive accomplishment and a big step up for them, and hit some higher levels and makes a kind of a more sustained push of quality basketball next year, perhaps JB Bickerstaff is in the running a year from now. This is just the step one of getting there. I did look this up. Cavs have had two winners all time, Bill Fitch way back in the day, and Mike Brown in 2008-2009, for those keeping at home. Mike Brown, new coach of the Sacramento Kings. by the way, which is very interesting. I'll be on Locked On Kings later this week if you want to hear me talk about Mike Brown. All right, so let's talk about Jared Allen. I think what will we remember, and what will, let's say for me here, what will I remember about this past season for Allen is how I want to frame this to start. For me specifically, I think it's that he's a backbone of this team this year. Cleveland does not have a stout defense without Jared Allen. They would not have functioned without Jared Allen, and specifically not a Jared Allen who's playing at a high level, an all-star level that he did this year. What I think we will remember this year for Jared Allen is that he is solidified as a superstar in his role. Let me repeat that to be explicit about this. He is a superstar in his role. This is not an A1 option, a guy who's maybe going to necessarily be an All-NBA contention or the best player on a title team or a really good playoff team. But when you look at what he is, and you look at the role he plays, rim running, finishing at the rim, defending really all over the floor, being versatile in defense, and really providing the backbone of a good defense, he is elite at that. Everything they asked him to do this year, asked him to be this year, and I think what he's going to be going forward for this organization, he's really, really good at. He's elite at the stuff that he's kind of asked to do more often than not. We'll get into the numbers later in the week in more detail when we do the numbers-only episode for Jared Allen. But just looking at the basic numbers. Career high in points, career high in rebounds, career best field goal percentage on the most shots he's ever taken per game. He was really, really efficient this year on a sub-20 usage rate and really one of the best defenders for his position in the league. Allen just like takes this role that is sort of small and contained, and his impact expands beyond it in a way that is very impressive and frankly hard to do. And in a position that is changing, that is, you ask a lot of these guys and to be sort of specialists in some ways, and it's a tricky balance to find centers that are actually worth your time. Allen's one of those guys that is 100% worth your time. He's worth his contract. It's very clear, and he's locked in as a core guy that Cleveland can roll with as part of its plan going forward. You could have felt confident about this coming in if you would have been the team or him or whomever, a fan, and been confident about Allen coming in. And I think this podcast is pretty profound. This was a season that locks him in as a real thing and shows how good he really is, as much as the contract did as a vote of confidence for him last summer when he got that $20 million a year contract. The hope is that because he's 24, just turned 24 in late April, there's still more to come. But he added to his game this year, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment. But even if he doesn't add to his game in a meaningful way, even if Jared Allen doesn't show up next year taking corner threes or taking pick-and-pop threes out of the double dragger or pick-and-roll with Darius Garland, just to throw a different look there, him sustaining something close to this level of play seems like something you can hope for, something you can – we'll see what we expect. Next year, we'll see kind of how this year compares to that and see kind of how – okay, what does this look like on film? What does this – do his numbers drop in any way? We'll have to see how that sort of looks. And look, for his sake, you also hope that he doesn't have any broken bones that hamper his season and that he can kind of sustain this level of play and then make a playoff run. You hope, because I think that's something that really did eat at him when you heard him talk about it at the end of the year when he did some media. But this is a situation where I think this is a guy that had a level up in his first full year in Cleveland, really thrived, and I think you're hoping that this is the guy that if this is if you're getting some, like, even if it's 90% of it year after year, or you're, you know, it kind of maybe goes up a little bit and comes down a little bit, and but it's in this sort of window of what he's going to do in this role, in what you're asking of him as a support system for the whole team, really. This is a guy you love to have. Again, he's not a superstar. He's not, you know, going to win an MVP, right? Like that, I don't think Jared Allen's going to make an All-NBA team, but Jared Allen is a superstar in his role. And to do that in the NBA, to do that and succeed in it, and really have this level of play from a guy that is, you know, kind of you got in a weird way, this is a win for the organization. And he's had a really good player, had one of my favorite seasons to think about, I think, in a long time from a non kind of breakout player in the way we sort of think of it. Okay, after the break, I'm going to ask what seems like maybe a dumb question, but we're going to answer it. And that's, did Jared Allen improve? But first, going to tell everyone about our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for sports betting stats and info for all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. Check out BetOnline.net. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. For instance, the Heat are big favorites in their series over the 76ers, or at least they were. Their odds are shifting right now as all these NBA series are very, very competitive in the NBA draft world. Jabari Smith is still the favorite to go number one at minus 105. Chet Holmgren is plus 190. And Paolo Banchero is plus 300. That'll be updated, I'm sure, more as the draft comes on. And all these series, the Western Conference Finals to come, all of that stuff is going to be updated regularly at betonline.net. And that's BetOnline. That's where the game starts. Check them out today, and we thank them for supporting the show. All right, Chris Manning here, Locked On Cavs podcast. I want to thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every single day. Now, go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board, hosted by Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies, and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter. Subscribe to that, by the way. It is great. There's also some great insight there from Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, Leif Thulin, and others, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock drafts, player rankings, and, of course, big boards. That's all free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, here's the open question that's going to define this segment that I'm going to explore here and take you through as I sort of think about it. And that's, did Jared Allen improve this year? The answer is very clearly yes. There's not really a way that I tried to answer this question. I tried to puncture my previous thoughts about this. And as we've gotten away from the season and are really trying to understand it with a little bit of hindsight and not being, you know, chewed up by the meat grinder that is the 82-game NBA season. The number suggests that he has, yes, improved. I'll link to it below. There's also a great Michael Pina piece that was written at Sports Illustrated in the lead-up to the All-Star game that, you know, dives into Allen's improvement and how he went about this and what he had to say about it that I would recommend reading. But I think, generally speaking, Allen went from a guy that was a very good rim-protecting big who was pretty efficient at the rim to one of the best in the league as a defender at the rim this year. That's a leap that, even if it's aided by the personnel around him, reflects well on him. The bigger and perhaps more important leap, though, I think comes from the offensive side. His bread and butter, his kind of thing that he's good at, is still dunks and finishing at the rim. He is very good at that, and he's going to remain very efficient at that, I think, as you go forward. His partnership with Darius Garland this year, for instance, in the pick and roll, was perhaps the most trustworthy, reliable play, the most reliable action that Cleveland could turn to this season. That's probably going to remain somewhat true going forward. Even if it doesn't remain number one, it's going to be something that they can just bank to and try to go to a lot. It's going to be a key action, something they spam and run a lot. But now I think you can throw him the ball and have him do some stuff with it. You can have him be a guy that can actually make you pay for trying to hide someone smaller on him in the post. Coming into this year, all Jared Allen really had, aside from dunking and making layups, was a kind of a flat-footed shot from the free throw line that he would take when basically it stared him in the face. He'd have a center slide off of him and say, "Okay, Jared, like, we know you are either going to give the ball up to a guard and the offense is going to reset, or you're going to shoot this shot, take the shot." He would make it. It was actually kind of a useful thing. And maybe some of the optimists thought, okay, this is could lead to him stretching out. This at least provides some stretch to his offensive game. But I think he pretty clearly has some moves now. He can do a quick little drive, kind of a one dribble drive when he has a smaller guy in him, or he has seasoned advantage to attack. He can get downhill and use his frame to his advantage in that sense, especially when it's not against like the bulkiest centers in the league. You know, he's not going to do this against like the elite guys like Embiid or someone like that, but he can do it against like your average NBA starting center. He has a little post hook he can go to. He has that little up and under he can go to, and that's really where the footwork and his length, I think, has really improved as a player. And he can do these with both hands. This wasn't there a year ago. This wasn't in Brooklyn. This wasn't, you know, in his days where he was playing with, you know, him and Andre Drummond on the Cavs roster. This was something that I think we saw really blossom this year for the first time. And was a kind of an unexpected thing for him. Even if you thought he was going to be good, this was kind of a big leap. I would also argue that while it hasn't shown up as much statistically, I would argue he is also more comfortable as a dribble handoff guy now too. This is a guy that didn't have that in his game. He's really just a screener, and he could, you know, kind of reset the offense with passes out. But I think now he at least has a little more utility to him where he can do a dribble handoff. He can throw a pass to a back cutter. Like, there's little stuff he can do now that give, it's not something you're going to like use as a hub, and his assists are not going to pop by any means. Like, Evan Mobley, if you're going to bet on one of the Cavs bigs next year taking a big leap as a as an offensive hub, it's going to be Evan Mobley. It's not going to be Jared Allen, but he can be better. And he gave a quote to Pina in this story that I want to read because I think it's sort of important. Quote, honestly, like, we went into the season, Coach JB Bickerstaff always talks about how there's going to be a lot of post-up opportunities. I'm like, okay, you know, we're in 2022 now. It's the game of pick and roll, and that's what I've been accustomed to all my NBA career. I'll get maybe one every other game. I'd be happy with that. But as the year has progressed, I've been getting more and more per game, and it's starting to become a part of my offense now. I think it is part of his offense now. I think, you know, if you had a different system, I think there are certainly tweaks you could make to the Cavs' offensive system where maybe it's more in line with what Atkinson and Allen played under Kenny Atkinson in Brooklyn. Maybe it's just more trying to stretch things out with different personnel. I think trying to kind of push him back into just being a rim-running center would be a mistake based on what we've seen from him. Look, this is just kind of adds another layer to how useful he's become. You need centers in 2022 and going forward as the league continues to be this different kind of place for bigs that give you options and present problems for defenses. Allen, again, is not going to be Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid. They are going to throw the ball to him. You're going to run your offense around him, and he's going to beat you that way, right? Like, you're not going to do that. The sets are not going to be designed around Jared Allen post-ups. That would be a bizarre choice. If JB Bickerstaff came into next year and did that, I would look at that with a lot of skepticism. But I think, number one, he can beat switches now when they try to put a smaller guy on him. And I think you can hunt that opportunity a little bit when it presents itself in the flow of the game. I think you can make the most of those. I think, again, if they're going to try to put, you know, like a lesser center on him, a not good defensive center, you can attack that at times late in the shot clock and make the most of it. I think that's going to matter a lot as continuing going forward, especially if the Cavs want to keep being bigger as part of their core identity going forward. He has to have some offensive utility in some way beyond dunks. It's just part of existing in the NBA now. You have to do more than just kind of one thing, especially on offense. This is a way to make that happen, and this will matter in the playoffs. The Cavs are, in the future, probably going to be a playoff team. You'd think that's where this is headed with the foundation they have set. They're going to have to trust Allen to make an impact beyond catching lobs that teams maybe game plan to take away in the playoffs, or if they play a really good, you know, help side, a team that really defends the paint. Let's say they play the Bucks. The Bucks take away a lot of threes. Giannis plays in help side. They have Brook Lopez. They will take away some of that initial action where you try to get Allen rolling, you try to get him dunking. If you're going to have situations in that series where you have to find offense to get creative and manufacture good points, maybe Allen is in a switch situation, ends up with a smaller guy, and he has to be able to punish that guy. You have to be willing to do that. And like, I think if you look at what we saw this year, you can trust Allen to do some of that work, to seal a guy off, put his ass into them, and put up a hook shot in a way that, like, the Jazz didn't trust Rudy Gobert to do that. I think this year gives you confidence that if Darius Garland or Colin Sexton or whomever, Evan Mobley, sees Jared Allen has a smaller guy in him after there's some action that's been running, they just need to get a bucket late in the shot clock and they're trying to make a quick decision, their instinct is going to be to see Jared Allen and give him the ball and he's going to go make a move, and you feel pretty good about that. I don't necessarily know if that would have been true a year ago. And if you're looking at Allen's improvement, I think he's better as a defender. I think he leveled up overall as a player. I think the most impactful leap he made as a player is that he's not just a dunk and layups guy anymore. He's still really efficient at that. He was actually more efficient than ever last year as that. But he has a little more now. And that, if it's a thing that sustains, if it's a thing that is real and that doesn't just kind of go away, that's a really good sign about where Jared Allen could be and how much he could help when you get to the 16-game season and you're trying to make a real push. All right, after the break, let's go to Jared Allen in context and how much he was a part of the Cavs' turnaround this past year. We're going to ask a pretty obvious question again, but Jared Allen, how much did he really help this group? And the answer is quite a bit. We'll dive into that after this word from Built Bar. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar out there. And look, people give up on New Year's resolutions, but not this year, and you can do that with the help of Built Bar. Built Bars are the best-tasting protein bar out there. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. Yes, 100% real chocolate. And they have tons of great flavors. Mint brownie, coconut, coconut almond. They've had white chocolate cookies and cream. They have blueberry muffin. They're teasing a new flavor that has some sprinkles in it on their Instagram right now that you can go check out. And if you go to built.com, go check out their macros chart. You're going to be blown away. They're high protein, low cal, high fiber, low carb. Most Built bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Can't really beat that in a protein bar. They're all about the taste. Just remember, they're going to put taste first, make it delicious, and make it healthy later. And guess what? They always do it. I don't know how, but they always seem to do it. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Again, that promo code is LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, last segment here on Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris Manning from Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Fear the Sword. So let's look at this season in retrospect and Jared Allen's impact on it. When we, again, are out of the day-to-day grind, and we think about where does Allen fall in the hierarchy, where does he rank on how much credit he deserves as each, you know, this is complicated, this is gray, this is not a perfect slice of that pie chart or whatever. Allen is a major, major reason why the Cavs won a lot of games and were actually good. He is, I think Darius Garland remains number one. The more I've thought about it, I think his case gets stronger as time has kind of gone on. I feel pretty clear that he is the guy on this team, or at least was last year. I don't think it's close. But you could, I think, make a case that Allen is number two. I think that, you know, the analytics would lead you in that direction. It's Garland and then him and then Mobley. I think he's obviously just much more established than Mobley. I think a better offensive player now than Evan Mobley is. That gives him an advantage. I think, you know, him and Garland having that connection in offense, like he was the most reliable target on offense for Darius Garland. You know, it wasn't a shocker that like when Allen went out of the lineup, we saw Garland try to perhaps score more, try to operate a little more and kind of have to search out for solutions more in a way that he didn't when he had Jared Allen rolling to the rim and dunking the basketball a lot of the time. For a Cavs team that had kind of a bleh offense, whether it's, you know, visually, whether it's, you know, the numbers, it wasn't a good offense. Think about two things with that. Number one, think about it if the Cavs didn't have Allen at all on this team, what that would have meant for Garland, what it would have meant for everyone else. Think about, you take away his presence as a rim runner, his presence as a role man, his presence as a guy that did some of the dirty work and the screening and things within the structure of the offense. Think about what that looks like for a second. Okay. You have that picture in your head. It's not going to look nearly as good. It's not going to work nearly as good. Like, we sort of have, it's different talent levels. Garland obviously isn't the same guy, but like, they had a guy that was like a fringe All-NBA guy big once in Andre Drummond, okay? They tried to post him up. They said, hey, this is what you kind of like to do. It's what you're good at. They catered to his strengths in that way. And guess what? They were bad. It didn't work. Andre Drummond is in other places now. He's actually kind of better off in his role now, even if his pocketbook probably is a little bit different. You put Allen in his role and you do what he does. I think it makes everyone better. It's not the traditional way of like, hey, a guard's going to pass guys open. A guard is going to, or the really good guards are going to kind of create open shots for the guys. It's not like Giannis when he puts his shoulder down and creates looks where he's creating and spraying the ball at the shooters. But I think he creates an infrastructure that does make everyone better. And then just think about what the offense looked like when Allen went out with his finger injury towards the end of the year. Just think about that for a second. Let's just take a second. Think about it. The offense didn't work the same. There's no lob threat. Moses Brown was like inadequate, like, hey, we pulled you off the street. We threw you in. You're tall. Great. Wouldn't hate him as a backup center going forward if I'm the Cavs front office. But there was no it took away the structure. Garland's looking for solutions. Maybe you see, there's a world, and maybe like this is the goal, is to get to a place where if the talent overall is better, if you don't have so many other injuries as well that contribute to this, that kind of makes some of this work, you can overcome an injured a guy like Allen. But A, they couldn't this past year, and that's what we're talking about. And two, it just showed how much to me. How much Allen mattered. It's why when I think about backup center as a need for this team, and I think it is a need, it's hard to think about like what finding a backup center sort of means when like you're just never going to find a reasonable backup who's actually going to provide you with anything close to what Allen provides you. He's that good and vital. It's not like you have like a $12 million kind of like solid starter who maybe you have a backup who makes a little less, but you can throw, he throws a different look. He provides something different. Like I think about like the Zubac Hartenstein rotation with the Clippers, or like, you know, Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis provide something different for the Bucks. Like guys provide different things for you. And you can use them for different looks. Allen is kind of like in a weird spot where he is so good at a lot of different things that like I don't really we'll see what the stress of the playoffs ultimately offers him down the line. I don't think there's like a style or a situation that I feel particularly uncomfortable with him in. That's just kind of where he's at. And when you removed him from what Cleveland did last year, it just showed that like, hey, like we don't really have ways of replacing this, at least on the fly right now. And I suspect that like one of the things you think about this summer is, okay, how do we, you know, aside from Mobley getting better and being a better offensive player, like, are there ways that we can, you know, maybe overcome this somewhere? You're hoping maybe Colin Sexton being healthy and around and maybe a better year from Caris LeVert and all that stuff can kind of help you. Just, it's very clear Jared Allen was extremely vital to everything the Cavs did. And, like, in a lot of ways, like, if Garland and Mobley were like the superstars of this year and the guys that I think you're banking your future on more than anyone else, Allen is like very clearly like number three in that pecking order, and he's the perfect support system in a lot of ways for both guys, which is kind of like a wild thing that you've ended up with here. And again, how you got him in the context of how you ended up getting him out of Brooklyn, because that remains perhaps the best move of the Kobe Altman era in terms of how that got that. I would like to know a lot of how that deal came together behind the scenes, because that's kind of wild that, like, that, again, like, a bad first is all it took. Do that 10 out of 10 times. I think it is also worth ending on and thinking about here that Jared Allen, Evan Mobley part of this, because their partnership was incredible. We know this. You know this. Anyone who watched the Cavs at all this year knows that this duo worked better, I think, than anyone really could have expected, unless you were an absolutely huge optimist, a homer. If you remember, there's a quote came out about from Mobley's camp, but they were a little unsure about, you know, them paying a center $20 million when they just drafted Evan Mobley. Like, there, I think skepticism was fair to some degree, right? But Allen being there as a Mobley kind of support system, as Mobley is just getting his sea legs in the NBA, felt huge to me. Mobley, had there been no Jared Allen, would have been in a massively different situation. He would have not have had a veteran support to kind of be the physical presence alongside him. He probably plays more of the five and dealing with some of the physicality night to night that I don't know if he was physically ready for in year one. He would have been asked to do more in a way that would have been crazy, considering he did a lot and was asked to play a lot and was heavily taxed as a rookie. But like Jared Allen kind of kept him from maybe being pushed and stretched even further. And like, there's something interesting about stretching Mobley even further and seeing how far his powers can go. But like, do you want to do that year one? I would argue no. And like, he also probably isn't as good unless he has Jared Allen as his front court mate. Like, they are a duo that can work in concert. Like, these are guys that both can switch. They can both play drop. They can both play different looks. Like, if you want to run the Mobley zone with Allen behind him, you can do that. If you want to build your whole system around them switching and covering for the point of attack guys, you can do that. Like, having them together made each other better, but Allen really, in talking about him today, it's clear in going back and looking at the numbers, looking at the film, thinking about this, looking at notes from the season, Allen makes Mobley a lot better. And that's just, there's just no way I think that Evan Mobley has the kind of rookie year he did. I think he still would have been very good, but I don't think it's as, he hits the same highs unless Jared Allen is playing with him. Look, Mobley as a center playing the five is something we are going to see more of going forward. It's going to matter. It's going to be something we talk about. It's part of where I think he's going as a player. I think that's just inevitable. But especially as he sizes up and gets acclimated and really grows up, and we'll see even how he adds muscle. We don't really know how that's going to look yet. I just don't think you could have found a better pairing for Mobley to get acclimated to the NBA than Allen. And that is not the headline of his season. I think individually he was incredible. He deserves those flowers, all of that stuff. But if you're the Cavs and you're saying, okay, not only did, like, we, I think if you just look at the what Jared Allen has provided you, it's provided you a very good center. You have him on, I think, a very reasonable contract that works for both sides. I think you just look at this and say, you know what? One of the best benefits we got here, maybe top five benefit, top three benefit, considering how important Mobley is to this franchise and where it's going, is that Evan Mobley was supported by Jared Allen, and that helped him, I think, get at a starting point and continue to grow from there. And it's all of this was made easier by the fact that, again, he has Jared Allen with him, and that makes, I think, his life easier. And the fact that those two work so well together, it's like maybe they would have told you that's the case. I think certainly optimists maybe would have argued that, but it proved to, I think, work as well as you could have hoped. And that gives you, I think, optimism that some of the stuff we saw this year in terms of the scheme on defense, the overall success of the defense, maybe there's some tinkering, maybe there's some things that change next year. I would suspect there is. That's just how this works. But you can, I think, look at this and say these two guys are the bedrock of our unit. And year one, let's see where they can take us and keep relying on them. I think it'll be really fun to see how those two, particularly as the defensive duo, continue to work. And we'll see how the offense comes along as well, obviously. Okay. That is going to be it for today's show. I have not done a solo show in a long time. So that was, it was fun, a little difficult. Hope you guys still enjoyed 30 minutes of me and no Evan or no guest today. I want to thank you for making Lockdown Cavs your first listen every day. Now, if you want a great second listen, check out the Lockdown NBA podcast from the first jump off the plane tournament to the last possession of the NBA Finals. Lockdown experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Up tomorrow on this show, it's Jared Allen viewed through the prism of numbers and what they say about his last season. Evan should be back then, and I hope you join us then too. Be well, drink a lot of water. I know I'm going to get off the show and really double down on the hydration, and